Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're often taught that the hand that gives is better than the hand that receives. And, you know, what does that truly mean, though? You know, what's the true impact of charity and giving sadaqah? And sometimes you feel a little disconnected from it, right? But alhamdulillah, today we're honored with who we have here sitting today with us, that has experienced this firsthand, alhamdulillah, that has dedicated his life to this. And, you know, we get a chance to learn from you and learn from all your experiences. Sheikh Nabil Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Assalamu wa rahmatullah.
Jazakallah khair for joining us. I know it's a busy time. You've got a few trips up ahead, inshallah. But yeah, we appreciate you coming to sit down with us.
Thank you so much.
I think, you know, a lot of people know you as an imam, a community leader. Some people might know you as a food vlogger, right? Yeah. But what do you sort of like to position yourself as in terms of, you know, what you've dedicated your life to?
So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. First of all, jazakumullah khair for inviting me and for giving me this opportunity to be part of this beautiful podcast, and a lot of people can benefit from our talk. And inshallah, if they get to benefit from our talk, and if someone acts upon something, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the accounts for us in the hereafter in good books. You know, it's like hasanat. We're accumulating hasanat. Oh, wow. We're collecting hasanat. I want to thank you for this. Jazakumullah khair. And your entire team for this. Alhamdulillah. So yes, I do go by the title of imam, food vlogger, and community leader. I do. I am also associated with MTJ Foundation, doing some charity work also, alhamdulillah, at the same time. See, Abdul Mateen bhai, I started with Hifz. Okay, it's back in the days, and I'll tell you my story. You'll be amazed. 90s. I'm Saudi born and raised. Okay. I grew up in a business family, and back in the days when nobody had gadgets and devices, we had the privilege to have all the devices. You know, because alhamdulillah, and then obviously it was addictive. You know, but it wasn't much like, you know, those childhood cartoons. I still remember, if you know, from Pocket Captain Planet, Thundercats, and there's I was crazy about it. That's how I grew up, and so on. Obviously, my parents, we moved here in 1989, came first time, explored, and so on, and then permanently shifted here in 1992, 93.
Okay,
and back and forth, and then obviously I started my elementary school, and then moving towards high school. You know, back in the days, they had those Blockbuster. I don't know if you've heard of what's your year of birth?
94,
right? I'm 84. So you must have seen them.
We're close.
We're close. So you must have seen those Blockbuster where you had to go and rent.
Exactly.
So Blockbuster used to have competitions back in the days. You know, there's movie competitions. Okay. And subhanAllah, I used to win all of them. You know, it was like about 1999 where they had a big competition, Sky Dome, aka Roger Center. Now, right?
Yeah.
And it was Toronto Argonauts game. Oh, wow. And then they had many questions. And the final question was, it was back in the days, but I don't mind mentioning it so people would know. So they asked, name the movie where Jean-Claude Van Damme played as a co-star. I didn't know what co-star means because I was obviously a grade 6, grade 7 student. Yeah. It just means that I said, do you mean a bad guy, a villain? They're like, I'm like, it's Black Eagle, right? And then I won the mega prize. I was $2,000 back or $5,000.
Oh, wow.
And gifts. When I brought this back home, my father's like, what's he up to? Picked me up, took me to Medina, Masjid and Danforth, told the brothers of Tablighi Jamaat, take him for 40 days. So that was the turning point.
You had to change his environment. He's
like, this guy needs to change in the environment. And then I started my life during this time.
Okay.
So alhamdulillah, I still make dua for my parents that's the best decision they made for me. Had he not put me there, today, Allah alam where I would have been today. So alhamdulillah, Allah knows Bollywood, Hollywood, Konsa would, we don't know, or maybe just in the woods, you know. So alhamdulillah, and I finished my hifz, and then I wanted to further progress in my studies in terms of Islamic studies.
Yeah.
I did finish my high school, and then went to Pakistan, finished my Alamiya program, and so on. Then came back here again, and I settled in Saskatchewan province.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, 2007, 2008, I settled in, and there I started off as an imam. That was like the first masjid I was ever an imam in.
How many masjids were there even in
At that time, only two. It was only one, two. The main mosque, IOS, and the second was Masjid al-Nur. And alhamdulillah, I've seen, like, you know, if you say, like, I've seen the community growing. I was here for 7-8 years until 2016. So by the time I left, we had 11 mosques and musallas.
Oh, wow. SubhanAllah.
I've seen
amazing.
A big change. There was a Hizb Madrasa. I used to teach in a Hizb Madrasa.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, in 5 years, I produced 35 to 40 hufaz. Alhamdulillah. Wow. So I think that's as a hasanat for me for the hereafter. All those students, may Allah bless them, Allah reward them.
Ameen, ameen.
And then obviously it was me and my wife. Then we had a son, Ibrahim. And then we moved to Toronto because we were being deprived of family.
Yeah.
And the family comes first. And then I had to take that step, move to Toronto and so on. And then big city, big things happen.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
Smaller city, you're in peace. And then I started in Ajax, Masjid al-Quba, amazing time. And then I moved to Masjid Darul Iman, alhamdulillah, in 2019 or 2020. It's been 5-6 years here now.
Oh.
And then came COVID. When I moved, it was COVID at Darul Iman. When I started, 2019 was COVID. 2019 I started. So during that time, there was a lot of curiosity for people in terms of halal, especially being at home. So obviously looking at the COVID protocols and all the parameters, we... based on the legal requirements, we explored some restaurants and so on. We wanted to help small businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that time they were getting
struggle.
Hit hard.
Yeah, exactly. So we wanted to help not even businesses, like anyone, anybody. We wanted to help them. We started from a friend's restaurant. We just went to eat, and we just recorded a video, and we uploaded it. And SubhanAllah,
it just
went
off.
Viral. It just took off. Then we said, you know, me and Salman. You must have seen him on videos, Mr. Salman Qureshi, a great friend of mine. He said, you know what? We got to keep on doing this. No charging, nothing, just lillah.
Yeah.
Even though it was COVID, you know. And obviously you're short, but we said, you know, when we help someone, so there's a hadith Qudsi called, Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fil sama. You have mercy on the creation of Allah, the master of the skies will have mercy upon you. So alhamdulillah, it just took off. We helped many restaurants, and a lot of people were getting awareness in terms of halal and so on and so on. Then came October 7th, Gaza.
Yeah.
After, I think, two to three years.
Yeah.
That's when I stopped. My heart wasn't satisfied that our brothers and sisters in Gaza and Palestine are suffering. And yes, even though we're doing it for a good cause, spreading the awareness for halal, but yet, like, my heart, wasn't satisfied that they don't have food to eat, and yet we're eating here in restaurants. And I said, there's a lot of people who can do that work, inshallah. We got to do something to help our brothers and sisters in Gaza. So that's how this initiative started. Helping first came the Yemen drought. That's how it started off. We helped in this mosque, alhamdulillah, where I am at Masjid Darul Iman. We helped make two containers for Yemen.
Wow, subhanallah.
Two containers, and all young guys, mashallah. That's how it started. That's how it took off, alhamdulillah. And we wanted to say, you know what? And then when you hear from them, like, thank you, or jazakumullah khair, when they give you the du'as, you want to say that, you know, let's carry on. Let's benefit more. How we can, you know, they have that, I don't know, now back in the days we had that Amway, that pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
You know, but we want to do that for the hereafter. Nothing here, for the hereafter. Benefit others, motivate others so they can benefit others. At the end of the day, I'm Haris, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all these good deeds in my account. It might help me in the hereafter. That's a little bit of
how
I took off.
Honestly, like, Aside from the movie trivia, I think most of the other things you'll see, I mean, I feel like I see it. I see the common theme of it being about community and other people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to Saskatchewan, right? Like two Massagids, right? You could have come to the GTA.
Yes.
So many Massagids. I think like in Mississauga, in a five square kilometer radius, I can't even number how many are there, you know? Like you could have came to the GTA, but you went to Saskatchewan. You could have even the food vlogging, right? You could have, you know, monetized, made money from it. You could have, you know, made a career out of it that, you know, took you in different directions, et cetera. But again, for the community, even the giving back, it was for the people in need. And it was also for the young people in the community that had more to give, you know? So subhanAllah, you know, like I see that common theme throughout it all. Do you remember like if there was something in your early life or something that someone might have done for you that sort of triggered, like had this domino effect for the rest of your life?
Yeah, see, during my studying period, while I was studying in madrasa, it was very tough. And I took that decision myself. Obviously, my parents fully supported me.
Yeah.
They didn't want to send me. Like, if my son today, I would never send him to a boarding school. I would never send him to a boarding school. Yes, going to Hifz, not only in Tablighi Jamaat, I was sent to a boarding school when I was 9 years old. I was in Buffalo. Darul Madaniya back in the days in 1994. So I was in Darul Uloom and then came out. Then I was with my family. Then I took the decision, like, you know, I want to go study. And then obviously every parent cares for their child. They said, how are you going to live alone? And it's a lot of hardships and this and this and this. And you know how madrasas are.
Yeah.
I said, no, I want to go. When I went, I said, you know what? I can't stay. This is not for me. I said, you know what? I've made a commitment to myself.
Yeah.
I got to stay. So all those hardships which came, like we used to sleep on bricks.
Yes.
Literally bricks, red bricks. You know, be it summer, be it winter. Summertime used to get so hot that we used to sprinkle water after Asar Salah. So by night, the heat could evaporate and then you could sleep at least with peace at nighttime. But during the daytime, when we used to wake up, our backs used to be wet with sweat.
Yeah.
So seeing that a lot of hard time, but during that hard time, everyone supported each other.
Mm.
Like, you know, don't worry, man. Motivation.
Yeah.
Motivation. We're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're learning the deen of Allah. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's our ultimate goal? Radiyallahu anhu wa radwan. That Allah be pleased with me and I be pleased with Allah. That's the ultimate goal. I have to die one day. You have to. We all have to die one day.
Yeah.
But what's the crux of my life? How Allah? If Allah is pleased, that's it. Finished. It's the dream trip for you for the hereafter.
Yeah.
Because Allah is pleased with you. Allah mentions in the qabr, Allah will open the windows of paradise for you. This is life now, and that's for eternity. Daiman abada, it's a never-ending life. So, what motivated me, you know, the motivation of my friends or my colleagues or the guys who studied with me, the brothers who studied with me.
Yeah.
When I came to this chapter of my life, when I jumped in practical world, be it corporate, be it professional, I thought to myself, you know, back in the days, Reebok, had a slogan. Life is short, play it hard.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very famous. Life. I think it was Reebok. I remember. Life is short, play it hard. So, life is short. You got to play it hard.
Yeah.
But you have to be smart also at the same time. Yeah. What you're doing. And when we have Quran and Hadith in front of us, the teachings, and you have a role model in front of you, which is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and guidance from your teachers, guidance from the seniors, and then you know that this is my way. This is what I got. And then I want to help others.
Yeah.
I want to help others, be it youngsters, be it making them a hafiz of Quran, be it giving awareness for food, halal food, be it awareness for collecting and sadaqah, zakat, anything, and helping in any possible way. Because what I've learned is that when you help others and when you're in need of help, Allah will directly help you. Okay. Allah will directly help you. And I've been through this. I've been through
over
this,
and over again.
Subhanallah, over and over again. And I tell you, the question he asked me is the du'as. We don't even know how many people. I don't even know. You might not even know how many people you have helped. But it's the du'as which are keeping us going today. Alhamdulillah.
I think you know, subhanAllah, jazakAllah khair for that. I think the last question that I have in this sort of category is just how do you keep your intention pure though, right? Like, you know, that's, I find that, you know, people in the community, a parent might thank you for something that you did for their child, or mm-hmm. somebody might compliment the amazing work that you did. And, you know, you're like, you know what? I did do a great job. And all of a sudden, you know, you have poured water on all the good that you might have done, yes. because the intention has changed. Yes. So what's some advice that you might have to people on how to keep that intention pure during that time, during this work?
You have to be connected to your elders. What do I mean by elders? Share everything with your parents, with your ustad, with your teachers. Because the experience they've seen, we learn from their experience. And we learn from their experience, subhanAllah, they'll tell us to stay on the ground.
Yes.
Don't fly too high.
Yeah.
And we're all in need. See, Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een were in the company of the best, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then those who benefited from Sahaba were tabi'een. So they did their tarbiyah. Or they guided them as per the teachings of Rasulullah ﷺ, and then Taba Ta'abin and so on and so on. And it carries on until today, mm-hmm. until today. So we have to be connected with our masajid, number one, with our ulama, and then keep on renewing our intentions. Yes, we're all insan. We make mistakes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept that, has inserted that software chip inside us also, that being proud or having pride might come into us, you know. Yeah, sure. This Mu'anabil is doing this, he's eating salah, he's doing this. It might come, you know what? It's me. And then when this happens, see, certain people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loosens their rope. How much they progress in this. And Allah wants them to realize that, look, you're going to the wrong path, you're going to the wrong way. And mashallah, some change and they come back. You know what? This is wrong. What happened to me? This is not right.
Yeah.
Certain people, they immediately, when they try to go, some situation happens. Immediately, it's a full stop for them.
Yes.
So it's all about the intention. Mm-hmm. It's all in the intention. What intentions do you have? What are we doing it for? And who are we doing it for?
Yeah.
You know, is it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it just to gain name and fame? Name and fame you'll get. No matter how famous you want to become, I know someone.
Yeah.
When I see them, when I meet them, this person, subhanAllah, in his personal life, he's an average person, normal. But he's sitting with big dignitaries, ministers, and this and this. I get shocked. I'm like, what is this guy doing? On daily basis, you'll see. On daily basis, man. Yeah. I'm with the police chief. I'm with the army chief. I'm with this guy. I'm like, where do you even get this much time from? Are you even getting paid from this? So I asked a friend. I'm like, my friend said to me, bro, Nabil, you know what? I'm like, what? He's like, when people, you know, how do you translate this for me in English? Agar koi cheez thaan le to usko ye karna hi karna hai. How would you translate this?
If someone wants to get something done,
yeah,
they'll find a way.
Find, like, this was this person's passion. I want to be with big people.
Come hell or high water.
Yeah, I want to be in the limelight. Yeah. So when you have this goal and this is your aim, Allah will open ways for you.
Yeah.
Irrelevant of the intention you have, whether it's for name and fame, whether it's for other purposes. See, when a person makes any type of intention, and I tell you, look, people have made, be it Muslims, be it non-Muslims, anyone, you make an intention or you bring something within your thought process. It's just within your thought process. You make efforts, definitely it's going to come into existence one day.
Yeah.
It does come into existence. This is how it is. Because Allah never puts the efforts of a person to waste, be it anyone. So we have to know that, look, I am a slave of Allah. Allah has given me La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam. I'm on haqq. And being on haqq, whatever Allah has given to me, it's to gain the pleasure of Allah. And honestly, the real sincerity and the real intention is tested when you're about to die.
Mm.
Yeah, shaitan doesn't leave you.
Yeah.
Iblis doesn't leave you at any cost until you die. Like when a person is dying, oh, Nabil, you did this work, when you are in sakarat, that's the time also when you have to fight shaitan. So it's a battle until the last breath.
So all of this is just prepping for that.
This is prepping for that, Habibi. Exactly. This is why, like, we're speaking now. What am I doing it for? Am I going to get a lot of views today? I'm expecting it to be viral. I get millions of views. People will benefit from me. Okay, people will benefit from me. How much am I benefiting from my own talk?
Yeah.
When I cannot impress my own self, how would I impress others?
Yeah.
So the first and foremost is my heart is closer to me, to my tongue, to my ears.
Tabligh people.
Exactly. So this is my thing first. I got to prepare for my own akhirah first. And look, when you're on an aircraft, prior to the aircraft flying, they give you
the whole talk.
The whole talk and a demo and so on. And they say, in the case of emergency,
you got to put it on yourself before you help.
Yourself first, exactly. Why? That's the true teaching of nafsi.
Yes.
So, same in the akhirah, same in the day on the day of judgment. So it's there's a hadith in of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna fil jasad mudgha, idha saluhat saluha jasadu kullu, wa idha fasadat fasada jasadu kullu. That there's a piece of flesh within the body. If that's rectified, every single action coming from the body will be rectified, will be good. And if it's corrupted, all the actions will be corrupted. And the Prophet ﷺ mentions, Ala wahi al qalb, thrice, Ala wahi al qalb, Ala wahi al qalb. And that's the heart, that's the heart. Innama al-amalu bin niyat, it's the heart. Everything is related to the heart. At the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, it wasn't raining. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Musa, there's a person amongst you, the Banu Israel, who's committed a sin, and he has to come in front of everyone and make tawbah. Musa alayhi salam gathered everyone, gave a talk, and then he said, whoever that is, come in the front and make tawbah to Allah, and Allah will forgive you, and then it will rain. So this person, he directly connected himself with Allah without even
coming out in front of him.
Yeah, exactly. And it rained. Musa alayhi salam, Ya Allah, it rained. He said, oh, Musa, he's already made. Ya Allah, who is he? Allah said, oh Musa, how would I reveal when he's already made that connection with me? That's it. You want it rain? Allah gave you rain. So this, it's just the heart. And it's just within seconds. That's it.
Subhanallah.
Within seconds. That's what I would like to advise, like, even to myself, to all the brothers and sisters, everybody else. Like, you know, intention plays a great role. Like, you've seen many people in this world who are nothing and they became something.
Yeah.
Yes, they did struggle, but it's the motivation inside.
Yeah.
As they say in Urdu, you translate, jab thaan li karna. If a person says, you know, there's a funny part. There was a crow.
Okay.
Kawa, just to get them, right? A crow. And the color of a crow is?
Black.
That's nature. That's how Allah's made him. So a crow was arguing with the seagull, like, you know, and he kept on telling the seagull, look, I'm same color as you. Seagull's like, no, you're not. He's like, I don't care. I don't have to listen to you. I've just made my intention. That's how I am now. Yeah. So this is what it is. If you've made your intention, that's it. Allah will take you a very long way and give you a successful life, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah.
Yeah.
Inshallah. I appreciate that. And I think, like, the other thing that I think, you've made that intention, you've, you know, believed that, you know, Allah will make this happen for you. If not this, something better, because, you know, he knows what's best for us. And then it snowballs. Like, it's like, I did it one time. Then, you know, the next time I'm just like, you know, last time I made dua, like, let me make it again, you know? Oh, and then you start seeing, like, the blessings of Allah show up in your life, and it's just snowballs and snowballs and snowballs, you know? And so, subhanAllah, like, I think that I ask you, what advice do you give? And someone might listen and they might say, oh, let me take this advice. But over time, it becomes more natural as you sort of, you know, build it into your life, subhanAllah. So I hope we all get a chance to do that, inshallah. I think related to that, and if we switch gears over to, you know, the charity work now. A lot of times, like, the people giving are disconnected from helping, right? you know, I might see, I mean, now you have social media, so you get to see some of the impact live, if not live, very immediately. But they're very disconnected, right? And so if you could tell us anything about what kind of impact giving sort of has to people's spirituality, to their inner self, what do you think that is?
Very good question, subhanAllah. And see, back in the days, and I'll tell you, like, I do a lot of history, right? So I'll go back in history and bring you back.
Okay.
Because history repeats itself.
Yeah.
And it's a fact. It happens. So back in the days, there was no social media. There was nothing. And disasters did happen. And genocides did happen. Yeah. Like, you can see that Genghis Khan, Halaku Khan, what happened? The Tatars. What happened? Many, it was a genocide, right? Yeah. At the time, there was no social media. And to an extent that the rivers of Baghdad, they were flowing in blood.
Yeah.
How do we know today? History. It passed on to us. And obviously, if it happened in Iraq, in Baghdad, how would the other world know? By the time they knew, it would have been finished. Done. So these things have been, and don't you think people contributed at that time as well?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who was going through a catastrophe, a disaster, anything. Earthquakes came that time as well.
Yeah.
Disasters did come at that time as well. So what's different? See, and if disasters came, when people found out, they gave.
Yeah.
And then obviously the people who are taking it, it takes them months to deliver it as well.
Yeah.
And by the time they reach, they're already in the rehabilitation phase.
I know.
That it was back then.
Yeah.
But people, again, it comes back to the intention. They gave that, look, we're giving to such and such person who's going right now to such and such place to help.
Yeah.
Be it anybody, be it anyone, be it Muslim, be it non-Muslim. See, we believe Islam teaches us to be helpful for everybody, for the entire man. The Prophet was sent for the entire mankind.
Good point.
It's just not, when we see someone in disaster, we make dua that Allah protect everybody in this world from any type of disaster, be it of any religion, any race. See, we're theirs and they're ours.
Yeah.
We're human beings at the end of the day. So in this day and age, see, when people give, the biggest challenge they have, I meet many people, they say, oh, I wish I was on ground right now. I wish I would have gone right now. I wish I can go and help right now, because we're seeing them suffering on social media and so on. Be it our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Gaza, be it in the Uyghur brothers and sisters in China, Sudan, Pakistan, anywhere around the world, anywhere.
Yeah.
Yemen, anywhere you take, anywhere. Like Ukraine, what's happening in Ukraine, anywhere where there's war taking place. So we want to help in any possible way. So a lot of people, what they do is they contribute financially, and they depend on other organizations. And I tell you what I've seen on ground. Many times people say, oh, we're giving to this organization. We're giving to this organization. Where is it all going?
Yeah.
Where is it all going?
Definitely.
Now I have another, John, now I have another test for you.
Yeah.
You got to translate this for me again.
Okay.
So there's so many people on ground.
Okay.
So many people on ground. There's a big dire need. How would you translate? Thoda bhi bahut hai aur bahut bhi thoda hai.
Little is a lot, and a lot is a lot.
A lot is no. Thoda bhi bahut hai.
And oh, and bahut yeah. But it's not enough.
Exactly.
But it's never enough.
Exactly, Habibi. So all that aid which is going in anywhere, you passed. So all that aid which is going in today, there's such a dire need that people think, and we're thinking, that we have sent a lot.
Yeah, that's never.
Yet
enough.
It's not enough.
Subhanallah.
It's not enough, and even though being it not enough, whatever we're sending, it might be little. It's sufficient for them to survive and to protect them.
Another day.
Exactly. So yes, see, this is what we have to understand. This is what I'm speaking about these days very actively, that brothers and sisters have to understand. And I've seen with my own eyes, mashallah, a lot of people are on the ground, a lot of organizations, they're doing amazing work. Amazing work, in sense that they're risking their lives, they're leaving their families, and they're going far away. It's a big risk they're taking on behalf of the community also.
Yes.
Anything can happen to them as well, be it anywhere around the world. I was recently in Pakistan where the floods took place. And then within 30 seconds in Bunir, 30 seconds, Habibi, only 30 seconds, We've never heard of such something called cloudburst. Cloudbursted.
Yeah.
30 seconds. Villages gone. Were finished. Gone. Perished. Once upon a time.
Yeah.
And look at the situation in Palestine. You see the landslide which happened in Sudan.
Yeah.
Uyghur in China. The war in Ukraine. And anywhere you look, people. So look, nobody wants. May Allah protect everybody.
I mean,
the entire world. Nobody wants to go through this catastrophe, through this disaster. It can happen anywhere. So this is what we have to think, that look, if I was in that situation, in that position, what do I expect from others at that time?
Allah.
And I've seen people from very well-off families. Within seconds, they became zero.
Mm.
And imagine you going and giving them a food pack. What would they go through? What's going on in their heart? So this is why you don't tell them, and we don't say to them that, look, we're here to deliver aid. No, we care for you.
Oh,
that's it.
Okay.
We care for you. We're here to care for you. We're just here to help. Not even help. Don't even use the word help, because it doesn't.
You don't know who's on the other side of that.
No. See, what it is that these people come from good families and they were respectable people. And these were the people who used to help.
Yeah.
Now today, when they're in need of help, they don't want to take that help.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there's an Arabic poetry.
Okay, that I can't translate.
Yeah, that I'll translate for you, inshallah. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he was in his court once and he asked, is there anyone amongst you, Arabs, who can give me the crux of Arabs, the Arabic poetry in 3 sentences? Amongst them was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an. So he mentioned, Ya Aba Talha, aren't you going to say something? He said, I will. Because Sahaba were very, you know, they had that connection. He said, I will, but I will charge you 100,000 dinars per couplet. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu mentioned, in Sabat, if it's well balanced, why not?
Okay.
So when I will read this to you right now. The last couplet is the ultimate, what I want to tell you,
okay,
which fits on these brothers and sisters in regards to help. He said, بَلَوْتُ النَّاسَ قَرْنًا بَعْدَ قَرْنٍ فَلَمْ أَرَ إِلَّا غَيْرَ خَطَّالٍ وَقَالِ, that I have seen people making promises, you know, and commitments. I found them to be false every time. فَلَمْ أَرَ إِلَّا غَيْرَ خَطَّالٍ وَقَالِ, وَلَمْ أَرَ فِي الْخُطُوبِ أَشَدَّ وَقْعًا وَوَزْنًا مِنْ مُعَادَاتِ الرِّجَالِ, that I have seen big loss in my life. People going through disasters and loss. But us fighting together or against each other, fighting against each other is the biggest loss which I have seen in brethren Muslim or in the name of humanity. Now the last part. وَذُقْتُ مَرَارَةَ الْأَشْيَاءِ طُرَّى فَمَا شَيْءٌ أَمَرَّ مِنَ السُّؤَالِ, I have tasted the most bitter things in my life, but I haven't tasted anything more bitter than asking from someone for something.
Oh, wow.
This is the thing. They don't want to ask, Habibi.
Yeah.
Just go and give it to them and leave. Khalas. That's it. You don't even have to expose yourself that I came and I did this.
Yeah.
Yes. Now again, coming back to your question, people want to know.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a digital era.
Exactly.
So now, see, back in the days, there was no social media, but people knew that we're doing it for Allah, and they took the amana and they did not do any khiyanat. Same thing happens now. They're taking the amana, alhamdulillah, but when they're delivering, obviously, the videos which are being made, the report, that's an impact report. So, see, every time when you have a phone, Android or iOS, any phone, what is the requirement of the phone? After a few months, you have to update the software. If you don't, it's going to get stuck and so on. Anything needs to be updated. So this is the updated version of this era, of this time. So a lot of people say, oh, charity used to be this, to this. You have, with time, it has to be updated also.
Yeah.
Just the way software has to be updated, formats have to be updated. People need to know, because we're living in a growing living world right now. People need to see what's happening. People need to see the impact, and this is how you show it.
No, I think that's a good reminder, and I think that, you know, us assuming the best is part of it. What about now? I've seen it, right? I've seen maybe the work that's happening and all of that. What about, and we always focus on the impact that it's having on the receiver, but you know, our deen teaches us that it also is having an impact on you. And what is that impact? And a lot of times it's missed, right? So what is
that impact cannot be described in words. Certain times you see certain things on ground, and I met this girl, Tala, she's 7-8 years old. And I mentioned about her many times since I came back, and she was on her roof, and obviously very young, and it was bombed, and she fell, and she's paralyzed since then. And when I met her the second time, subhanAllah, I saw an improvement. What was the improvement? She was smiling.
Oh, subhanAllah.
And she can't even move her limbs. She can't move her hands. She can't move her head. She can't
full
move
body.
Her,
like,
full body.
Oh, wow.
Full body. But that smile, you know, it brought tears to my eyes, but it brought happiness to me as well. These are the emotions which cannot be described into words.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be expressed. See, emotions can never be expressed or can never be translated into words.
Yeah,
it's just the emotions. Maybe, you know, maybe if I was to say this in Arabic, in Urdu, it might have an impact on you. It might make your heart soft, or even in English.
Yeah.
But what I've seen, it cannot be described. And a lot of people say, you know what, I can't describe it into words. The impact which it has on you is that it brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
And it protects you. And I've noticed this, it protects you from, you know, going even closer to major sins. And I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect us till we die.
Mm-hmm.
Because the times we're going through are very rough and tough.
Yeah.
The fitnas we're going through are very rough and tough. So environment is first and foremost priority right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is why as a community, we have to learn how to engage ourselves with the masajid and attach yourself with the masajid. I'm telling you, living in these countries, the biggest problem is we all tend to get involved in rather than being involved in community work. Obviously, everybody thinks of the management. Okay, khalas, fine. When we say something, this management is doing something. When you're in the management, someone will say that about you. It's at tasalsul. It's at tasalsul. It will keep on happening. Just focus on yourself. Focus on your akhirah. Focus on your ibadah. And then you will understand by helping others, what impact do you have. And I will encourage others as well. Even when you're not on ground, and you're giving a penny for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will help you in some way, and you will see the impact of it in your life.
Yeah.
You will see it in your life. And I tell you one thing. I think 2021, before COVID, 2018, there was some art festival, ice sculptures,
okay,
right?
Okay.
Festival in Ottawa. It takes place every year in wintertime.
Okay.
It was my wedding anniversary. My wife said, I wanted to see this. We took her. And I said, we'll stay for the night in Ottawa. She said, no. Okay, when we reached and everything, we're done. I said, let's go to the hotel. She said, no, let's go back home.
Like Toronto?
Yeah, let's go back to Toronto. I'm like, we just came, man. Come on. And I've never done this in my life. Anywhere I go in the city, I stay then for the night. And okay. She said, no. She said, you have to listen because it's our anniversary. I'm like, fine, no problem. Let's drive back. The gas was full in my tank. I reached Kingston, Ontario. It was full. Gas was full. I just stopped. I said, you know what? Let me just refill gas. My wife's like, are you okay? I'm like, maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. I just want to maybe stretch myself and I'll fill in some gas. You know, when you're in a gas station, if the car's in front of you, you got to take it up and then reverse it back.
Yeah.
I don't like doing that. I did that also. They're like, are you okay? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's late. I wanted to stay. Anyways, I'm filling gas. I see a Muslim sister, an auntie, like, you know, maybe in her 50s. As I'm feeling it, she comes towards me closer and closer. Because she's standing at the convenience, the store.
Yeah.
She comes closer to me, closer to me, closer to me. She says, assalamu alaikum. I'm like, assalam, sister. Everything's good. Everything's okay. She's like, brother, I live in Quebec. I live in Quebec City. And I was traveling to Toronto. And I forgot my wallet in my house. I filled up gas, but I didn't remember. Now I don't have money for gas. I have been waiting here for the past 6 hours and making dua. Goodness. Ya Allah, send someone to help me. I'm like, Ya Allah, sister. She's like, what happened? I'm like, sister, it was my anniversary today. I was in Ottawa. My wife said, do this, go back. I'm like, whatever happened today, it's the power of your dua which brought me here to help you today. I'm like, today I understood how much power does a dua have, that your dua, I said, there are thousands of people outside.
Thousands of gas stations.
Allah could have brought anybody else to help you, but why me? Alhamdulillah, I filled gas for her. She said, send me your email and I'll e-transfer you, brother. I said, no, I don't need e-transfer. I said, I've understood the power of your dua. I need your duas. She said, brother, which way should I take for Toronto? Because she was on 401. Yeah. I was so excited. I said, sister, ihdina surat al-mustaqim. Just keep going straight, you'll hit Mississauga. You know, you'll just hit, she wanted to go Mississauga. I said, you go 401, you'll hit Mississauga. Yeah. So, Habibi, when you're on ground, when you get du'as of others, this is the impact you'll see in your life, that their du'as someday on some point, when you're in need of help, their du'as, basically they're getting banked for you.
Yeah.
It's banked. May Allah protect everybody. May Allah protect you, all of us. God forbid if you're in a situation, that du'a is going to come out and help you.
Yes.
That's the impact. Even if you're giving a penny, even if you're giving a dollar, even if you're giving $1,000, it all depends on the intention. Impact, you will. It's not the impact you see on the ground.
Yeah.
You will see an impact in your own life, inshallah, one day.
Yeah.
And Allah will protect and preserve deen in your 7 generations to come. Maybe you might not see an impact in your life. Maybe from your progeny, Allah might make children your huffaz or ulama, maybe the imam of haram. Who knows?
SubhanAllah. I appreciate that reminder. And you're so passionate about it. So I was like, I could see you at the gas station.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah, JazakAllah khair for that. I think that it's forgotten, right? And because we're so used to seeing things, right?
Yes.
Even when you're giving now, you know, when you're a certain level of giver to a certain organization, they gift you something or they give you something back and whatever the case might, or they recognize you in some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
But we forget that, like, the true impact is is unseen.
Exactly.
You know, it's, I think that, what do they say? Like a disaster might have avoided a disaster, or whatever the case might be.
Yes.
And so, SubhanAllah, you know, I think that that's an amazing reminder. And I appreciate it. I think, you know, we're sort of nearing the end of it. I think we've got about 5-6 minutes. So I think what I would like to end on is, you know, if one personal story or one story that you've experienced, maybe that even when it felt hard to give, you know, even when it was difficult, or maybe going out in the path to of this work, and what were like the unexpected blessings of it, and what would you advise people on, like, how to get started?
I have a story which I mention every time, which is very close to my heart, which was a life changer. And I make dua to Allah, preserve that iman inside me and keep everybody protected, everyone's iman, everyone. And for people, Allah gave me a son in 2019, my second son. And when he was born, he had gastroschisis. Gastroschisis means that when he was born, he had a hole in his belly and all the intestines were out of his tummy.
Oh, so
they were hanging out like a spaghetti. You know, like they were hanging out. It was born very small, like maybe 1,500 grams or something. Very small. Toronto Hospital. They did his surgery, immediate surgery and so on. And they shifted him to Sick Kids Hospital. And surgery was done, and through gravity silo technique, they had to put the intestines back. And then after a few days, he was diagnosed with sepsis infection. The same baby was 1,500 grams, became like 4,500 grams child, because water was filling in the body due to infection. And you know, that was a turning point. Like, you know, you cry in front of Allah, you make dua to Allah. And obviously you can imagine what a mother has to go through.
Yeah.
And they put him in an isolation room. And there were four babies in the isolation room. I still remember it was a beautiful family. It was a Jewish family, Jacob. There was another Hindu family. I remember that child. And there was a Christian family as well. Yes. So subhanAllah. And only four children. Because I remember Jacob because he was my next to us, a neighbor. Yeah. And then we had good talk with them. And these children had similar diagnoses. Had similar diagnoses, right? And every parent was going through some type of emotions, you know. And I told my wife, look, he's in an isolation room. Give me 6 to 7 hours. And obviously, that's the time when they need you the most. She's like, what are you going to do with these 6 to 7 hours? I said, look, any urgency, just text message me. Don't even call me. So downstairs in second floor, there's a musalla, masjid on second hospital. I went and started reciting Quran. That's all. I'm hafiz of Quran. I said, Ya Allah, this is what you have given me. I started Quran. I'm going to finish the entire Quran.
Awesome.
That's why I said 6-7 hours. For a hafiz, 6 to 7 hours. If you have a good pace, you can finish. So I reached the 15. Just he messaged me that the nurses have performed that test, and there's a sudden improvement. I'm like, subhanAllah, like, keep going on. That's it. You know, when I finished the entire Quran, the last 10 surahs, I closed it. I was reading it as on my way up.
Yeah.
I said, I'll go and blow it on my child, you know, and then I'll put my blessings on other children as well. I'll make dua for them as well, inshallah. So within 2 days, he was back in the normal ward. And I kept on reciting Quran for 2 to 3 days. This was impossible for him to come back. The parents were shocked. How? Then obviously at that was the moment of being, you know, we were proud.
Yeah.
We were proud of how we connected ourselves with Allah. Did not have pride, but we were proud that Allah. So they asked, you know, they asked my wife. She's like, oh, my husband's an imam and he knows the Quran and this. So mashallah, the next day, the family, which was there, the Hindu family, they had a pundit. And the other family had a priest, you know. So they at the end of the day, what was their ultimate goal? To be connected. That there's someone running the system, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, this is what I tell everybody, that some things when you see on ground, and these stories, there's many stories I've seen, many children I've seen. It's not only my child. I've seen many other children, and I would never want other children to be in this, you know. I've seen children who don't have food to eat, and they're eating bread with green chili. Children, how can a child eat green chili, man? Come on. But they have nothing to eat and they have no choice. I've seen them, you know, them eating something like bread or something which is food, rotten food, days old. And sometimes you're in such a situation, you want to help, but you're unable to help because of certain regulations on ground. So this, and the only thing which can change is dua, the power of your dua. And I would tell everybody who's listening to me, including myself, that Quran and read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair for everything. I think you reminded us the impact of giving, but I think more importantly, how important it is where our heart is, right? Yes. Like what our intentions are, whether it be giving, abroad, helping locally, the work that I'm doing on a day-to-day, how I care for my child. I think, you know, what's in your heart is the most important throughout it all, you know, and that could change everything, right? And not only in this world, but the hereafter as well. So jazakallah khair for that reminder. And alhamdulillah, you know, may Allah reward you for everything that you've done. And may Allah, you know, reward you for the impact that you're having on people. And because you don't just speak about it, alhamdulillah, you also live it. And, you know, I hope.
I want to mention one small hadith before we end.
Please.
There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kullu ma'rufatin sadaqah. Every good act is sadaqah. You smile at someone, it's sadaqah. You help someone open the door, it's sadaqah. You help someone cross the road, it's sadaqah. So if we have this intention, even at home, you know, sitting with the family and having quality time is also sadaqah. and then you're just getting ajr and ajr and ajr and ajr. So kullu ma'rufatin sadaqah. It's not that just a taking out money and giving it. Yeah. That's also sadaqah. That's the highest form, but every good act is sadaqah. So may Allah give me and give us all the ability.
Ameen.
Stay safe, stay blessed, stay happy, and stay healthy.
Ameen. Please share this episode with anyone who wants to give more and needs a reminder or wants a reminder about, you know, intention and the purity of intention and the impact it has on their life. It's a must watch. It's an amazing journey, an amazing story that Sheikh Nabil shared with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and jazakallahu khair.